fidel balva griva jari chaya griva jari. So da na na na, Raja Janaranjana, Chayak Raja Janaranjana. So da na na na. Raja Janaranjana, Jaya Raja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tiravachari Jaya Kunja Vihari. Yamuna Tiravachari Jaya Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Brahmadakshari Asadhara Sudushi Srimad His Divine Grace Shalasi Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premanande to all glorious to the Assembled Devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarne. Om Agana Timanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagridatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Dagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishabhana Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Dhruva Maharaj leaves home, text 43. Snatva anu anusavanam tasmin kalindhya salile shive kritva uchitani nivasan atmanaha kalpita asana. Snatvanu savanam tasmin kalindya salile shive kritvo chitani nivasan natmana kalpitasana. Snatvanu savanam tasmin kalindya salile shive kritvo chitani nivisa atmana kalpita satasana. Chitani nivasan atmana kalpitasanaha. Snatvanu savanam tasmin kalindya shalile shive kripo chitani nirvasan atmana kalpitasana. Snatvanu savanam tasmin kalindya shalile shive kripo chitani nivisan atmana kalpitasanaha. Snatvanu savanam tasmin kalindya shalile shive Chitani nivasan atmana kalpitasana. Ladies. Nadvanu savanam tasmin kalindya salile shive kridvau chitani nivasan Natmana kalpitasanaha. Vanu savanam tasmin. Kalindya shalile sive. Kritvauditani nivasan. Atmana kalpitasanaha. Snatva. After taking bath, anusavanam, three times, tasmin, in that Kalindhya, in the river Kalindi, the Jamuna, Salile, in the water, Shive, which is very auspicious, Kritva, performing, Uchitani, suitable, Nivasan, sitting, Atmana, of the self, Kalpita, asana, having prepared a sitting place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni instructed, my dear boy, in the waters of the Jamuna River, which is known as Kalindi, you should take 3 baths daily because the water is very auspicious, sacred and clear. After bathing, you should perform the necessary regulative principles, Rastanga Yoga, and then sit down in your asana, sitting place, in a calm and quiet position. Purport. Oh, please repeat. Narada Muni instructed. My dear boy, in the waters of the Jamuna River, which is known as Kalindi, you should take 3 baths daily. Because the water is very auspicious, sacred, and clear. After bathing, you should perform the necessary regulative principles for Astanga Yoga, and then sit down in your asana, sitting place, in a calm and quiet position. Shubhra's purport, it appears from this statement that Dhruva Maharaj had already been instructed how to practice the Eightfold Yoga system, which is known as Astanga Yoga. This system is explained in our Bhagavad Gita as it is in the chapter entitled Sankhya Yoga, pages 319 to 322. That must have been the abbreviated form. It's only 3 pages. So that's when they had the little blue Bhagavad Gita, I guess. That in the Astanga Yoga, one practices settling the mind and then concentrating it on the form of Lord Vishnu, as will be described in the following verses. It's clearly stated here that Astanga Yoga is not a Bali gymnastic exercise, but a practice to concentrate the mind on the form of Vishnu. Before sitting on his asana, which is also described in Bhagavad Gita, one has to cleanse himself very nicely in clear or sacred water thrice daily. The water of the Jamuna is naturally very clear and pure, and thus if anyone bathes there 3 times, undoubtedly he will be greatly purified externally. Narada Muni therefore instructed Dhruva Maharaj to go to the bank of the Jamuna and thus become externally purified. This is a part of the gradual process of practicing mystic yoga. So the verse again. Snadvanusavanam tasmin kalindya salile shive kridvochitani nivisan atmana kapitasanaha. Narada Muni instructed, my dear boy, in the water of the Jamuna River, which is known as Kalindi, you should take 3 baths daily because the water is very auspicious, sacred, and clear. After bathing, you should perform the necessary regular principles for Astanga Yoga and then sit down in your asana, sitting place, in a calm and quiet position. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya Devasitarane. The Astanga Yoga process of becoming Krishna conscious is, part of it is explained here, that it is not that every circumstance is equally auspicious for becoming Krishna conscious. Although, by the chanting of the holy names, one can chant anywhere. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. Because Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different, and one chants purely anywhere, then that will be as good as Vaikuntha. Nahum tishtami Vaikunte. Krishna said, I am not in Vaikuntha. He's in the Hridayam. He's in the heart of those who are chanting his glories. But still, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that part of the duty of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is not only to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but also to make the atmosphere suitable that the Maha Mantra will be more readily appreciated by others. The Ashtanga Yoga system of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi, at every step, the same principle is there, to make the atmosphere conducive to ultimately fixing the mind upon Krishna in the proper mood. That yama niyama also includes what's mentioned here, socham, satyam, namely cleanliness, truthfulness, asteya, not stealing, aparigraha, not being coveted, not being possessive, ishvara padana, namely worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are the preliminary qualifications. One is that if we act our interactions, as Queen Kunti has said, that the principal reason why we're entangled in the material world is because of our social interactions with each other. Or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Because we want to become the Lord of the material nature, and because we're frustrated over the fact that we can't become the Lord here, we're having great difficulty doing it. Therefore, either we look at others, in two ways. Either as the object of our sense gratification, or our enemies, who are trying to impede or take away our sense gratification. So basically, as there are only two principal consciousnesses in this material world, namely hankering for material happiness and being frustrated over our inability to achieve it, therefore we generally see everyone in the material world only in two ways. Either as our friends, those who are helping us achieve sense gratification, or our enemies, those who are impeding our sense gratification, either gross or subtly. Just like Bhrigupati Puru taught me last year, which he got from Vaishasika Puru, that if you want to make friends with someone, you just tell them that you're the greatest, you know, whatever it is. You know, I saw that hair, it looks really great. Immediately, because people identify themselves with their hair, they think this person is praising me. Or that, you know, those shoes look really great. Wow. I'm your devotee. Let me introduce myself to you. So then people, because they identify themselves with these things, therefore they think, oh, this is my friend. He appreciates me. I've been working so hard that people could actually worship my body and respect me, this body. So now finally this body has achieved a devotee. And I must honor him as my devotee. In other words, if you want to be on the friends of someone, you simply have to become a devotee through their body or their subtle mind, their conception of life, their feelings. Somehow or another, you have to be in agreement with them. And then to that extent, you become their friend. So friends and enemies in the material world is not very complicated. Unfortunately, people are so bewildered because they don't realize they're actually not their body. They're actually a spiritual being. And their body is simply what they've taken as their worshipable deity. As I've explained before, that we all originally have the same worshipable deity, namely Krishna. And when we're factually conscious of Krishna, we're satisfied and happy, perpetually. And when we're apart from Krishna, Krishna, Bahir Mukha, Bhoga, Vanchatare, Nikatastha Mayahana Japatiyadhar. As soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then Maya gives us so many different bodies to worship. And we forget that we all have the same object of worship. And instead, we become competitors against Krishna, against all living entities. Somehow or another, trying to enjoy others, or at least their material bodies. It's gross and subtle. Therefore, one has to become purified of these things, and either directly or indirectly, the purification of relationships is the first thing. That is, not trying to look at others, developing a spiritual vision so that one sees others as potential devotees, at least, or in the second class platform, the vision is that one sees Krishna as the object of love. Not that we need more and more things from Krishna in order to gratify our senses, because that's simply lust. Lust mixed in with Krishna consciousness means just like mixing sweet rice with a little sand. The sweet rice is very nice, but one can't blame the taste of the sweet rice if you mix a little sand into it. Similarly, without seeing Krishna as the object of love, then one can't actually taste the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, because one will factually not become conscious of Krishna. That same burning sensation, the same covering of ignorance will be over our consciousness. And one has to see the cooperation amongst the devotees. Because basically speaking, being in the material world, it is not that we've suddenly become conditioned when we come into the Hare Krishna movement. Or that as soon as we come into the Hare Krishna movement, immediately our conditioning is over. We sit down at the sacrifice. And I know many devotees who believe like that. You sit down at the sacrifice. You throw in a few grains. There's some mantras chanting. And somehow or another from your heart, all the sinful activities leap up and fly into the heart of the spiritual master. I even know of one devotee, he, in 26 Second Avenue, he took initiation from Srila Prabhupada, and as soon as the initiation was over, he thanked everyone and said, "Thank you very much. Now that all my sinful activities are gone, I'll see you sometime in the future." So that's not exactly how things work, as we can see, that although we may take initiation, although we may follow the process for some time, it's not that our misidentification with this body and with this mind, our hankering, our lamentation, has completely dissipated or disappeared. No, it is the process of gradually awakening our Krishna consciousness and therefore becoming purified by our anarthas. And even if we become more or less purified from our anarthas at the state of nishta, still one has to practice developing one's Krishna consciousness to bring it up to the level of prema. Therefore, we have to develop spiritual vision from the very beginning if we want to make any progress. Part of that is socham, satyam, all these different social interactions with others. And then one has to purify oneself. Personal, spiritual cultivation, such as Ishvara Padana, worshipping the Supreme Lord. And here it says asana. So it is not that in the Krishna consciousness movement, we don't practice asana. If we listen to the japa tape, Prabhupada has said, sit straight. Prabhupada did not like to see people bending over during japa, going deeper and deeper into samadhi. No, Prabhupada would want, actually, on several occasions, he mentioned that the devotee should sit up. So that our body, where our body is doing, has something to do with where our consciousness is. Even if you, sometimes I teach Hatha Yoga, even if you look down, you're standing like this, immediately you'll start feeling depressed, just by the way you're sitting. And as soon as you sit up tall, immediately you start feeling confident. So similarly, by the process of asana, it is not something sacred, but it is a means for changing our consciousness. Similarly, pranayama is another mechanical method of simply changing our consciousness to get over our attachments to the material energy. Because if one is feeling very weak, if one is feeling very depressed, then one will feel more and more attached to the material energy. But when one's consciousness becomes clearer, then one feels less and less dependent on material energy and material circumstances. And then one can concentrate upon the Supreme Lord or contemplate, think about the Supreme Lord, because one will not be distracted by so many material considerations. The weather, my surroundings, this and that. And then, as one becomes more and more perfect, then one can concentrate more upon the Supreme Lord. So in the this is all part of the Ashtanga Yoga process. So that finally, Sarabhutastamatmanam Sarabhutini Chatmini Ikshate Yoga Yukdatma Sarvatra Samadarshanha. Krishna says, the true yogi observes me in all beings and sees every being in me. The self-realized soul can see me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. So once we get over all our anxieties, then it becomes obvious that everyone is Krishna, is a spiritual being. It's already obvious. It's just common sense. The fact that our body's changing, everyone's body is changing, but everyone has a soul inside, including the animals. As I mentioned before, it's common sense, but in Kali Yuga, common sense is very uncommon. That people can't relate to something so simple as the eternality of the soul, because it goes against all their education, all their training, everything they've more or less put their lives or sacrificed their lives for. But for one who's fortunate, Bhagyavan, one who is a little bit humbled by the material nature, can understand very clearly or simply that actually we're spiritual souls, and that everyone is a spiritual being, and that ultimately there's a supreme spiritual being, and therefore, basing one's life upon fixing the consciousness upon that supreme spiritual being, who's the source of everything, and his original form is the source of all happiness, does not become impossible to understand. So the Ashtanga Yoga process, as Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, is whether it's Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, or Ashtanga Yoga, they're all meant to fix the preliminary processes so that we can appreciate the value of bhakti. That bhakti is so simple that the very end of the Ashtanga Yoga system, namely to think about Krishna, is achieved immediately by the process of bhakti yoga. The yogi may sit there for thousands of years with great discipline, and then finally he may see Krishna within his heart after purifying himself by all these different processes. But we can simply walk into the temple and Krishna is right there. Save so many thousands of years. Just like Vishvamrita Muni, he had to meditate for 180,000 years before he got second initiation. So Prabhupada mentions in a conversation in January of 1977, just imagine if you went to the temple president and you asked, how many years since you've been first initiated? And you tell him, it's only been 97,000 years. You go, well, it's a little early. I don't know, you know. We don't usually give second initiation so quick. 180,000 years, and then finally he got second initiation. So Prabhupada mentioned that by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, it's like a lift, it's like the elevator. You go very quickly up by the chanting, and you achieve the ability to see Krishna everywhere. Of course, there is a science of chanting Hare Krishna, as has been mentioned many times, that first of all, we have to actually chant the holy names. The process is not to get 16 rounds done as quickly as possible. We're not a good person simply because we got our rounds done. Of course, we are a good person if we chant our Hare Krishna. But the first thing is to chant as clearly as possible all 16 names in the holy name, in the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then recognizing that Krishna is a person, we have to chant to Krishna, to Srimati Radharani, and to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said it's just like a child calling out for his mother. Mother Hara, to please give us protection. So we have to direct our chanting to Krishna, not that we're simply directing our chanting towards getting it done. Doesn't matter how we chant, what we're thinking about, just get the rounds done. No, we have to call out for Krishna. It's an opportunity to call out for Krishna and to Srimati Radharani. Cause we can call out for them for different reasons. Oh Krishna, my arm hurts me, please help me. Or I have this problem, you know, I don't have enough money in the bank, could you kindly supply something? If you're a god, then, you know, do something practical. So four kinds of pious persons approach Krishna. Those who are in distress, those who are in want of money, those who are inquisitive, and he who's seeking for liberation. So these are the persons who actually approach Krishna. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, to Srimati Radharani, means we're actually approaching Krishna, rather than his impersonal Brahman form. If we chant Hare Krishna, clearly, without distraction from our hankerings and lamentations, without our mental concoctions, then at least we'll realize that we're not the body. But if we actually chant to Krishna, calling out to Krishna for something, then we'll realize Krishna is a person. But if we chant not only attentively, clearly and attentively to Krishna, but we chant feelingly, trying to actually learn the process of chanting lovingly, then the result is that a personal relationship with Krishna will be experienced. And that Krishna only has one relationship. His different expansions have different relationships. Paramatma has a relationship with us. Lord Nrisimhadeva obviously had some relationship with Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. There's a relationship with all of Krishna's incarnations. But Krishna, his only activity is love, bhakti. So we give Krishna a little bit of love through the chanting, then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, then Krishna will teach us how to develop more and more love for him. That's the reciprocation with chanting lovingly, is that Krishna gives us more and more intelligence so we can enter deeper and deeper into that loving feelings. And as Prabhupada mentions, Chaitasya Sarva Karmani Maya Sanyasi Matparaha Buddhi Yogam Upashitya Matshitak Siddhatam Bhava. Then in all activities and for the results, just depend upon me, work always under my protection, and in such devotional service be fully conscious of me. And Prabhupada gives us a very simple formula for whatever we're doing to be Krishna conscious. Namely, we should think that everything here belongs to Krishna. Therefore, we have nothing to gain here and nothing to lose. We never had anything here. We never lost anything. We only have one big illusion that we've lost so many things or there's so many things to gain. And one should think, Prabhupada says, matparha, that one should have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in such a way, one should think of Krishna only, that I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna, and I'm doing it just to please him. Then Prabhupada says that one will naturally think about Krishna, and that this is perfect Krishna consciousness. That one should not do something whimsically and then offer the result to Krishna. That order of Krishna comes down through the disciple succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his instructions, then his success in life and Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So whether you call it shiksha or diksha, whatever we call it, but the orders of Krishna coming down from the disciple succession, if we're receiving them, we're doing them in order to please Krishna with that attitude, then the result is we'll naturally think of Krishna, and that's the perfection of our life in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter whether we're a so-called big devotee or a little devotee, new devotee, old devotee, whatever, if we just become a devotee. Prabhupada said, don't try and become a big devotee, just try and become a devotee. And the simple formula is there. And if we're chanting Hare Krishna with attention and with sincerity, trying to call out to Krishna for engaging us in his loving service. And when Krishna is pleased, he'll give us the intelligence, and everything should become simpler and simpler, and our distractions caused by our previous activities will gradually diminish, and the simple, happy process of Krishna consciousness will become more and more clear and more simple to follow. So if we're having difficulty, it's not unusual, because everyone in the material world is having difficulty. Krishna says, Karshati. This place is a place of struggle, but if we struggle to become Krishna conscious, then our life will surely become successful, and our goal in life will be achieved. So, well, thank you, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hi, thank you for your class. You had mentioned that it's not only the duty of devotees to chant Hare Krishna, but to create an atmosphere that's conducive to the chanting Hare Krishna. And I'm wondering if you'd care to extrapolate on that a bit.
Well, just like here at the temple, we have the restaurant, vegetarian restaurant. Especially when people eat meat, it's very difficult to understand Krishna consciousness. Because if one eats meat, then one has to drink wine. As soon as they serve meat on the airplanes, I always notice they're always, first they come around with the wine, with the intoxicant. Because in order to, the human being is not meant for eating meat. He needs something to digest the meat. So he has to take wine because the wine acts like an acid to digest the meat. And as soon as one gets intoxicated, then everyone looks beautiful. Then after everyone looks beautiful, then everything costs so much nowadays, the only way you have to make a gamble. Everything's a gamble. Either you play the stock market, or you go to Las Vegas, or you, more or less, life is a gamble nowadays. Speculation. Therefore, one has to break the four regular principles, more or less, if one eats meat. So if one becomes a vegetarian, then there is some possibility, realizing that we should be friendly to other living entities, the animals. Otherwise, nowadays we can see, because of killing animals and taking intoxication and so many different sinful activities, therefore now they kill their children. They don't hesitate to kill the children. Soon they'll be killing the old people. I even read articles how they kill people in the hospital if they're too old. Not officially, but, you know, they give them some injection, a little bit too much, and then they pass out, they become unconscious, and then they deem that this person's unconscious, they take away all the life support system, and somehow or another they leave their bodies. So this is modern society. As people become more and more sinful, their value of human life will be such that by the end of Kali Yuga, everyone is fair prey for a meal, especially the devotees. Because they're offered to Krishna, people will be very interested in looking for devotees to eat them. Therefore, creating a vegetarian restaurant, having temples, distributing books, these are all creating an atmosphere. Just being nice to people in Krishna consciousness creates an atmosphere where people will become a little inquisitive to find out transcendental knowledge. They want to find out why are these people happy. Prabhupada said that people they take books. Why? Because they're struck with wonder to see how enthusiastic these people are. They're not taking the books because, you know, they want to learn Sanskrit, most people. Or they came to the airport, they flew here from, you know, from New York just to find some Indian literature in the airport. They're coming because they're struck with wonder to see the enthusiasm of the devotees. So that enthusiasm sparks a little inquisitiveness. How can I make my life a little enthusiastic too? Maybe something's in the book. Or maybe just if I reciprocate with this person in some way, maybe I'll become a little enthusiastic too. And indeed they do. Krishna reciprocates with them. Yes.
So you mentioned how we're different from this body. And I was thinking this morning, Rabindranath Prabhu, as every morning, he brings out the Charanamrita and sprinkles on devotees' heads. So I had my chadar on my head, And when I got some Charanamrita on my chadar, I was thinking, well, that's not me. I should, you know, I should remove the chadar and get some on my head. But I'm different from my head either, so there's no difference of sprinkling Charanamrita on my head, on my chadar, on somebody else's head, or on the floor.
Yes, it depends upon your consciousness. If someone sprinkles some Charanamrita and you start thinking, you know, why did he do that to me? And you better not do that again. And who does he think he is anyhow? Then you might get some benefit because Charanamrita is transcendental, but your consciousness will not be very helped by that consciousness you've generated. So yes, therefore just appreciation or a desire to perform devotional service is practically as good as performing devotional service. So if you think now, oh, how nice my chatter has been purified, and you think about Krishna, then you've made some advancement. But generally speaking, the things that are, if you heard that 5,000 miles away, someone sprinkles some Charanamrita, you'd have to be very advanced to be able to feel and appreciate. Therefore, our head is something which is generally more directly in contact with. It reminds us more of Krishna. That this is my head, which I'm usually using for so many other things. People aren't sprinkling Charanamrita on my head. So when my head feels Charanamrita has been sprinkled, some connection with Krishna, then it helps me remember that this body actually belongs to Krishna. So it's not that the sprinkling of the water is itself sufficient. It's when I start identifying my body as belonging to Krishna, and therefore being willing to utilize it in Krishna's service, that it actually becomes more and more meaningful, all these different activities. Otherwise, people come here, they offer so many things to Krishna, but if their idea is to get something back from Krishna, they really don't, their consciousness doesn't become purified, and that's what we're really trying to purify, is our consciousness. Is that clear? Therefore, this is a sidelight, which is just one of the things Prabhupada said. Someone asked Prabhupada one time, it was in, I believe, Hawaii. And they said, Prabhupada, if someone takes prasad, do they automatically get a human form of life? Sometimes Prabhupada said yes, but this time he said no. He said if they take prasadam and they understand that this is offered to Krishna, then they'll get a human form of life. Otherwise, if they just take prasad and they don't understand these things, then at least they'll come back and they'll get another opportunity to take prasad. So our consciousness is the basic principle of everything. And consciousness means knowledge, what we're have some consciousness of. Yeah. No, he didn't. He says, Shrayan Dravayamaya Jagna, Jnana Jagna Parantapa, Sarvam Karmikalam Partha, Jnani Pari Samapyate. The sacrifice of knowledge is greater than the sacrifice of fruitive activities, because after all, Son of Kunti, the sacrifice of work culminates in transcendental knowledge. So then Prabhupada writes that one should perform activities in Jnanakanda, because that's better. Because if one doesn't have knowledge, then he'll only get a material result from his activities. He won't get a spiritual result. From sacrifice, at least. Everyone gets a result. If he performs sinful activities, he'll definitely get a result, a sinful reaction. If he performs sacrifice, he'll get a result, but the result may be some higher material position or reciprocation. But if it's performed in knowledge, then the result can come to the platform of spiritual. Then one will advance in knowledge. Or activities performed in knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge, Prabhupada writes in another purport, 14:19. Yes.
Maharaj, I know we're running out of time, but you did mention about devotees being around and possibly being victimized by the cannibals. But where do we find that they're going to be there at the end of Kali Yuga? And what are they going to eat? Because there's no grain, there's no fruit, there's no nothing left.
You mean the devotees?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just repeating. Prabhupada mentioned he was on a television station. I forget the interviewer's name. And the interviewer asked him, where will your followers be at the end of Kali Yuga? Because Prabhupada mentioned about the end of Kali Yuga. And he said, they won't be around here to see all the fun. But still, it mentions that there'll be some devotees left, because after Kalki comes and kills all the demons, then the Satyayuga begins again with the devotees who survived. And there are some devotees who are just waiting. They're somewhere in the Himalayas just waiting for Kali Yuga to end, so they can, you know, begin a normal life again. So what are they going to eat? I'm sure Krishna, he says, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, he'll supply something. It may not be a big Sunday feast, but but it'll be something to survive with. And I'm sure it'll taste good, whatever's left over. You don't have much. Just like after a long fast, you get a little bit of prasadam, it tastes great. So I'm sure the devotees can appreciate whatever Krishna supplies at that time. But they're not going to die of overeating. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.